I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, April 14th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Let's start with, I don't know, listener mail maybe. And some of the messages I received during yesterday's broadcast, actually. For example, when the subject, was it Mike? I think it was Mike. We were talking about the issue of food was raised. And that was an interesting conversation that was not just food. I think, you know, again, one of the things that's most fascinating about the food is that it seems to, for some whatever reason, it lends itself to legalism very, very handily. So even when it comes to the Bible, you know, we have this discussion about the Genesis diet or the Levitical diet or this or that. And obviously the subject of kosher arises, which is, you know, back to part of yesterday's discussion. So halal, thank you, Joanne. That's the term in question from yesterday's conversation. Mike and I were talking about this. But again, I think, to simplify it in biblical context, you know, I think the superior or the paramount Christian perspective, this is just my conjecture, is Romans 14. It's all there. So that's my two cents. I mean, not that that's worth any more or less than anyone else's perspective, but I'm the host of this broadcast, so that's my perspective. Romans 14, it's all there. So that's good. We got that little housekeeping box checked. And I want to get back to the piece that I was reading yesterday, what big pharma corruption means in the COVID era. And there's another piece, speaking of this biblical stuff, There's another piece that I think is an excellent companion piece to go along with that discussion. And that, I have that in yesterday's archives, which need to be posted. There's interest in some of this stuff, too, speaking of listener email and so forth. There's interest in, I guess we're all kind of having similar ideas. It would be great if we could have these discussions somewhere out on the interwebs, and maybe we can. It's obviously possible. Big tech is, I don't think, the way to do that, but we can do that on our own in different ways. And so if that's something that we're all thinking is valuable, then we should probably do that. I don't know. Maybe we should just try to set some stuff up, and if you build it, they will come kind of thing. Who knows? Maybe we can make our own field of dreams. I thought it was interesting. Again, just sort of housekeeping from yesterday, the conversation with Lark about the Watch the Water piece and his point about the Cliff High piece. I think it's interesting that when you call into question the veracity of someone's research and their work and so forth, it's interesting when you make a number of errors yourself. So the Cliff High piece doesn't spell Brian Artis's name correctly, and there are a number of other errors, we'll just say generally speaking. Not to mention, speaking of names, again, as Lark mentioned, Cliff High, you know, when we're talking Stu Peters and Cliff High, are we talking WWF? You know, are we talking Randy Macho Man Savage and Jimmy Superfly Snuka, which are both characters, obviously. Real people playing characters. So, are we talking non-state actors, or I don't know. So that's interesting, I think. Just food for thought, just something to temper one's enthusiasm, I think. This other thing I'll get back to, but I'll mention it for now, I think is very interesting. This is also a subject that's come up many times. But here's a piece devoted to it from what I would call a biblical perspective. This was posted July 6, 2020 over at createdforhealth.org. Created the number 4 health.org. The satanic roots of modern medicine, the mark of the beast, question mark. And so that's an interesting piece. This was actually written originally by Brian Shalavi at Health Impact News, republished here. But interesting. So maybe we'll get to that. In any case, I want to go back to this article that I was reading yesterday. And again, thank you, Larry, for sending this over. It's a great article, really. Rebecca Strong did a magnificent job, her article over at Medium, putting Big Bad Pharma back on trial in the COVID-19 era. They keep telling us to trust the science, but who paid for it? And that is, you know, you do these kinds of things, you say stuff on a broadcast, and I think maybe you feel this way, I think in circles like this, if you will, there are certain things that we all generally know and understand. That list could be quite long, probably, but you know, it's things like the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor reserve, which was a point that John emphasized on a regular basis. It's a cabal of you know, folks, it's what does J. Edward Griffin call it? It's a cartel that employs, speaking of Griffin, the Mandrake mechanism. Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. I reach into my hat and presto, here's some currency. That's what it is these days. Literally, it's backed by nothing. Even guys like John Kenneth Galbraith, even Pilgrim Fellows like Galbraith admit it in their textbooks. The process by which money, so-called, is created is so simple the mind is literally repelled. That's what Galbraith said. Keynes knew. They all know. It's a scheme. It's a racket. It's a Ponzi scheme. Quite literally. I mean, it's quite literally a Ponzi scheme. It is the quintessential Ponzi scheme. And if you're getting in after the fact, you're getting taken advantage of. You're the one getting fleeced. Yeah, but if you just find, you know, it's the old Ron Popeil deal. If you promise to tell two friends, so someone's always getting scammed. That's, you know, also known as the first money game. If you can touch it as soon as it comes off the presses, you benefit before it gets into circulation, because as Alan Greenspan said, the law of supply and demand is not to be conned. It will not. And eventually the market will find equilibrium. That's what we're seeing right now. We just had, over the last 2 years, another, you know, trillions and trillions of dollars pumped into the market. And what's happening? Now everyone's saying shrinkflation. No, it's not really shrinkflation. It's inflation. And the shrinkage is a way to try to defray the obvious effects of it. There are forces behind this Mandrake mechanism that are intending to crash it. That's what the whole Great Reset is all about. And they don't give up. Again, you know, the League of Nations and then United Nations should tell us that. If it didn't stick the first time, they'll be back planning and scheming to give you these, you know, like the big tech companies that take advantage of you and then say, you will have a, you know, we would like to give you a call back and you will have an opportunity to. We need to define terms. I don't think what you call an opportunity is what the rest of the world would define as an opportunity. So there are forces that want to crash it. These are things that we generally understand. The World Economic Forum is not my friend. No, Bill Gates is actually not the closest thing to a saint that we'll ever experience in our lifetime. Unless, again, saint is a relative term, more sort of along the lines of 2 Corinthians 11:14 again. If that's what you're calling a saint, well, then I guess I agree. Bill Gates is a saint. Anybody who has his own planes and can buy an airline if he wanted to, but flies on an airline with a convicted pedophile, allegedly to get money, but is actually giving that person money, and then lies about it after the fact and tries to cover it up, I would call that person's character questionable. Oh yeah, and then there's Rick Allen Jones. And on and on and on. There's India, there's Africa, there's the Population Control Council at the Gates Foundation. But it's not that anymore. It's family planning. He's still a eugenicist. He still wants to get rid of a bunch of people. Last I checked, he's still more in favor of vaccines than clean water. So, you know, that all sounds sinister. Oh, yeah, and then there's the antitrust stuff and the things that his partner Paul Allen wrote, and there's the Gary Kildall story, and on and on and on. There is a, you know, Bill Gates is not far removed from discussions like the Clinton body count. There's a lot of collateral damage in the wake of Bill Gates, as far as I can tell. But he, you know, doles out some of the funny money here and there, and that apparently causes a significant amount of amnesia. So, with that in mind, Mark Twain said it best, corn pone opinions. Show me where a man gets his corn pone, and I'll tell you what his opinions is. So there are things that we generally agree on. You know, again, the Federal Reserve being one of those, the not federal, not reserve, what actually causes inflation. Inflation is not a naturally occurring phenomenon. So, and then there's other stuff, you know. There's the germ theory stuff. And that actually, you know, that's a fairly controversial discussion, but that's not, I would say that starts to get off into the not generally accepted and agreed upon, but, you know, and then there's food and all that kind of stuff. So, we have these fun subjects. And so here we are. The point of saying that is I believe that one of the generally accepted points in the discussion is, speaking of allopathy, the journals have been corrupt for, well, since as far back as some people can remember. And this idea of big pharma using these journals in Bernaysian sort of fashion to market products is not a new concept. And I'm always amazed. It's surprising to me that folks are not aware of this, especially some folks that should be. It's so interesting. But then there's the, well, I have the promise of, you know, curing this thing or whatever. Big Pharma doesn't cure anything to my knowledge, which is interesting. And why would they? Because like Sherry Tenpenny, I think it is, says, you know, they're more interested in creating customers for life. That's the model. And how do you know? Again, go back into the history of the Wellcome Trust or any of these conglomerates, Merck, Pfizer, GSK, on and on. And all the funny coincidences, you know, like Moderna's stock sign, mRNA. What a coincidence. All the funny business. The advertising agencies that are literally devoted to naming drugs. That's all they do. We talked about that. You know, Comirnaty. What? Comirnaty? And that whole naming fiasco. Remember that? So, I mean, I mentioned a bunch of bullet points that I think are part of the generally accepted, you know, the John B. Watson, Little Albert experiment, the Milgram experiment, Stanley Milgram's book, Obedience to Authority, an Experimental View. And yeah, but that was a long time ago. You know, Biderman and Zimmer, The Manipulation of Human Behavior. That was a long time ago, though, Chris. Yeah, well, where Biderman and Zimmer left off, Martin Seligman and friends picked up at University of Pennsylvania. Remember Learned Helplessness? It's the same research, and that's Seligman coming forward, who, you know, helped create the war on steroids. I mean, the war on terror. You know? Remember that whole deal? Jane Mayer wrote a great book about it, and others. So, I mean, it's the same discussion. I thought that was the generally understood line as far as all of that is concerned, too. Anyway, we'll continue on when we come back. Stick around. Be right back.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back. So I thought these things were generally accepted. We know that, you know, again, SSRIs are not our friends. Soma was, you know, Huxley wrote about it 100 years ago, almost, in Brave New World. And now we have Soma. Yay! But kids aren't reading Brave New World anymore. It's not required reading. I would argue that required reading is not necessarily a good thing. It's almost like it sort of it's like a buffer, you know. Remember, I mean, if you remember being in school, I would say high school in particular, I think there is a, generally speaking, mentally one is repelled by required reading. And so we don't consider it as important as we otherwise might. So, interesting how that works, I think. Anyway, in any case, like I said, I thought that some of these things were generally accepted. So we need to move on, though. I'm going to, you know, all of that really is just to say, I guess we're going to circle back around and talk about some of this stuff, the shenanigans in the medical journals. And, you know, I just find it fascinating that I guess people believe or buy into the advertising that employs the Milgram experiment. Because I don't know. I mean, you hear about it. It's like, I don't know. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers to me. You know, you hear one day, yeah, I would never do that because, you know, it's dangerous or whatever. I would never take these drugs. And I can see how this person started taking one drug that turned into five, that turned into eight, turned into 11. And then they were gone. I mean, I have heard that story more than once. And you would think that we would get wise and we get good at the telephone game, so to speak. But it keeps happening. And so that, to me, is mystifying. There must be some real magnetic pull when it comes to these drugs and so forth, you know? There must be, because if there weren't, these things would not be happening. Very interesting. So, be that as it may, I guess we'll talk more about this article. I think it's a fantastic article. I want to read Rebecca Strong's article into the record a little bit. And we're about to head into a break, so I'll wait until we come back to really dive into that. But then, you know, again, I mean, you look back into history and this stuff was discussed. I think we should play a little bit of Huxley's Ultimate Revolution speech. Because, again, like I said yesterday, it's astonishing. You know, he's saying, the moderator says, and it was 62, actually, I think I said 61 yesterday, but, you know, the moderator says, Mr. Huxley has recently returned from a conference, where the discussion focused on the development of new techniques by which to control and direct human behavior. A conference where the discussion focused on the development of new techniques by which to control and direct human behavior. Traditionally, it has been possible to suppress individual freedom through the application of physical coercion. But, you know, now we have these amazing techniques, developmental controls, which operate directly on the psychophysiological organisms of man, to replace external constraint by internal compulsion. What? Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Psychotronic Era. Interesting. That comes into view and perhaps focus in this discussion as well, but the psychotropics, the SSRIs in particular, that comes into view. The pharmacological method, as Huxley put it, there is, for example, doesn't he just sound like Nosferatu when he talks? There is a, for example, the pharmacological method. This is one of the things I talked about. I invented a hypothetical drug called Soma, right? Which, of course, could not exist as it stood there because it was simultaneously a stimulant, a narcotic, and hallucinogen, which seems unlikely in one substance. But, you know, you learn about these guys. Folks like Aaron and Melissa Dykes have reminded us of Julian Huxley and UNESCO, and that not savory historical jaunt. And then there is Jeffrey Steinberg's piece that I've referred to many times in recent years, From Cybernetics to Littleton, Techniques of Mind Control, which, again, you know, speaking of Aldous Huxley, Huxley's Concentration Camp of the Mind. Concentration Camp of the Mind, enhanced by propaganda and psychotropic drugs. learning to love their servitude, abandoning all will to resist. As Lark says, Abelia, apathy, and amnesia. This, Huxley concluded, is the final revolution. That's what he said. We'll play a little bit of that. But, you know, this guy, I don't think, you know, the more you learn about him, why would you have this person influencing society? If you're going to think about it, you know, when you understand the concept that the organization or the organism, as the sociologist might want to say, emulates its leadership. Well, what is the leadership? You know, people who use these psychedelic drugs themselves and die on, you know, taking LSD and stuff like that. Is that these really the people that we want influencing society? It sounds like if you have that as your social influence, that you're going to end up with a sick, demented, warped, perverse society. And yet, look where we are with the all of this fun influence. The cybernetics group, you know, the man-machine project. And how many times have we seen that in recent years? More and more what you hear is that we're machines. You know, this electrical discussion, like I said, I mean, the irony that, you know, people want to talk about electrical impulses and so forth, and then Nissan has a TV commercial, Electric Cars for Electric Drivers, featuring Brie Larson. And so, I don't know. So many of these things seem like generally understood, but maybe are not so much. So with that in mind, back to the, you know, back in the Wayback Machine for a moment, Aldous Huxley. We got to do that. 1962, Berkeley. This was a whole conference itself. I mean, you can dive into the Berkeley archives, I think, still, and find this was a whole conference. This was a whole, you know, series of panels and discussions and things. And when you stop for a minute and just listen to what's being said and how this is presented as, oh, it's perfectly, you know, normal. Mr. Huxley has recently returned from a conference at the Institute, blah, 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 where the discussion focused on the development of new techniques by which to control and direct human behavior. Oh, but we're just trying to make sure that doesn't happen. No. No, you seem morbidly preoccupied. And like I said, the antidote to all of this is not to obsess over mental and moral sickness. The antidote is, as the founders put it, virtue, morality, and religion. That's where you, if you're going to obsess, so to speak, that's where you should obsess. I digress. Without further ado, Aldous Huxley, March 20, 1962, Berkeley Language Center. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Aldous Huxley, renowned essayist and novelist, who during the spring semester is residing at the university in his capacity as a Ford research professor. Mr. Huxley has recently returned from a conference at the Institute for the Study of Democratic Institutions in Santa Barbara, where the discussion focused on the development of new techniques by which to control and direct human behavior. Traditionally, it has been possible to suppress individual freedom through the application of physical coercion, through the appeal of ideologies, through the manipulation of man's physical and social environment, and more recently through the techniques, the cruder techniques of psychological conditioning. The ultimate revolution about which Mr. Huxley will speak today concerns itself with the development of new behavioral controls which operate directly upon the psychophysiological organisms of man, that is, the capacity to replace external constraint by internal compulsion. As those of us who are familiar with Mr. Huxley's works well know, this is a subject with which he has been concerned for quite a period of time. Mr. Huxley will make a presentation of approximately half an hour, followed by some brief discussions and questions by the two panelists sitting to my left, Ms. Lillian Rivlin and Mr. John Post, and Mr. Huxley.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say that the conference at Santa Barbara was not directly concerned with the control of the mind. That was a conference, there have been two of them now, at the University of California Medical Center in San Francisco, one this year, which I didn't attend, and one 2 years ago, where there was a considerable discussion on this subject. At Santa Barbara, we were talking about technology in general and the effects it's likely to have on society and the problems related to technological transplanting of technology and technology into underdeveloped countries. Well, now, in regard to this problem of the ultimate revolution, this has been very well summed up by the moderator. In the past, we can say that all revolutions have essentially aimed at changing the environment in order to change the individual. I mean, there's been the political revolution, the economic revolution. In the time of the Reformation, the religious revolution. All these aimed, as I say, not directly at the human being, but at his surroundings, so that by modifying the surroundings, you did achieve an effect upon the human being. Today, we are faced, I think, with the approach of what may be called the ultimate revolution, the final revolution, where a man can act directly on the mind-body of his fellows. Well, needless to say...
There you go. I mean, where man can act directly on the mind-body of his fellows. And when he says mind-body, that's what he means. Again, this gets into... If you're not familiar, read and listen to the Verge piece on Google's Selfish Ledger. This is very, you know, this gets into the stuff that I think is generally understood, generally accepted, that Google is working on this technology. Ray Kurzweil is there helping guide and direct this stuff. The Selfish Gene, Richard Dawkins comes into view. Satanist Richard Dawkins, and the Royal Society behind the Fabians, you know, telling the world that on the 30th anniversary, the Royal Society saying that Dawkins' Selfish Gene is the most influential science book of all time. Why is that? What are they saying? You know, this is exactly what Huxley was talking about, and he's not our friend when he's telling us this is what is going on at these conferences. This is hubris, not a warning to mankind. He's participating in the conferences, so you know the lie. And it is a lie that, for example, you know, Biderman and Zimmer are writing about the manipulation of human behavior so as to prevent it from happening. I mean, come on. Seriously, are we really that naive? Or, you know, that Martin Seligman's research, the continuation of the Biderman and Zimmer stuff, is somehow in the best interest and to the benefit of mankind. Are we really that naive? Are we really? Oops. Oh, gosh. You know, we don't know how this happened. How did this happen? It's so unfortunate. This research was supposed to be for the benefit of mankind. We studied the techniques, you know, like the manipulation of human behavior. How do Soviet and Chinese communist regimes manipulate people? How? What are the worst techniques? Oh, you know what? Let's write a book about that. And then somehow that's going to make things better. We'll just obsess over this stuff. What happens when it falls into the wrong hands? Wink, wink. Oops. Oh, gosh. How could we have known that? Hey, Martin Seligman, your learned helplessness theory research is interesting. How did you happen upon that? You know, and the Wikipedia entry has been modified several times since I originally read from the Wikipedia entry that the as the story originally was presented, Seligman and his colleagues stumbled. They happened upon to the learned helplessness theory by randomly and repeatedly shocking dogs. Speaking of Skinnerian operant conditioning and learned helplessness and, you know, Lark's point. I mean, Abulia, apathy, and amnesia is learned helplessness. By randomly and repeatedly shocking dogs, they trained them, they engineered them not to they trained the self-preservation mechanism out of them. They just happened upon it by randomly and repeatedly shocking dogs. That doesn't sound like, you know, it sounds like there's something, you know, very disingenuous about that soundbite. And then what do you know? Martin Seligman is working with SOCOM and the SEER community in particular, trying to help them resist interrogation techniques. But then what do you know? The next thing we see is a visual depiction of, you know, again, the guy with the hood over his head, outstretched arms, and the, you know, the little probes on his fingers on a milk crate. That's Martin Seligman. That's Spider-Man. That's learned helplessness. That's all of this stuff at work. Where can we really go do some hardcore research on that? You know what? Let's make a war on terror and we'll say these guys are really bad, and that way we can control folks at home. At the same time, we can go advance this research that's been going on for decades and decades, but now we can legitimize it and Congress will reauthorize our budget and all of that kind of stuff. Everything that was exported to Unit 731 and then re-imported. It's despicable. We should know all of these things, I think, generally, and then not participate, not condone them in whatever fashion. We should know them, and when the subject arises, probably speak out against it, I think. It's frustrating. You know, Jane Mayer wrote a book, The Dark Side, Inside Story of How the War on Terror Turned into a War on American Ideals. Then there's that issue. But I'm glad we don't have that problem anymore. Wait, we still do? Oh. So, I thought that these things were generally understood, but things keep reemerging, and it's the same old story being told over and over. Anyway, this article is fantastic, putting Big Bad Pharma back on trial in the COVID-19 era. So, picking up from yesterday, Rebecca Strong talks about her grandfather. 1973, her grandpa and his colleagues celebrated as Pfizer crossed a milestone, the $1 billion sales mark. These days, Pfizer rakes in $81 billion a year, making it the 28th most valuable company in the world. Johnson & Johnson ranks 15th with $93.77 billion a year. And Johnson & Johnson is running commercials now. What are they saying? The largest something like the largest medical company in the world, I want to say. I forget how they phrase it, but the largest something. Where is it all coming from? And again, you know, I think of early on, January 2020. I told the story right from the get-go. It was interesting that when we heard COVID, Chief Scientific Officer Paul Stoffels, and J&J obviously participated in Event 201, but Chief Scientific Officer Paul Stoffels was saying when at the point that he was interviewed on NBC, there was still only one confirmed case. There was patient zero in America, and Paul Stoffels, and there were 1,000 around the world, according to WHO. Tweeting, there were less than 1,000 cases of COVID around the world. Patient zero in America, and Paul Stoffels says, yeah, I think we can make a vaccine for this. Really? Why would you do that? Anyway, conspiracy? I guess borrowing from Congressman Larry McDonald, yes, I am. I'm saying conspiracy. Stick around, we'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. like the heartaches. When you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Perfectly apropos. Welcome back. Sinatra, the incomparable. So, reading this article during the break, you know, skipping ahead, Alex off the record sway, the American Legislative Exchange Council, we've talked about that on this broadcast. But they're, it's conservatives, Chris, they're Christian, they're, you know, God-fearing, Bible-believing folks, right? And we've had the CNP conversation, right? The Council for National Policy. There are some interesting things being advanced by this contingent. This seems to be the other side of, you know, it's not just the crazy radical lefties. It's also the corporate fascism and syndicalism that this end of the spectrum represents. ALEC claimed, you know, 2,000 members and claims to be the nation's largest nonpartisan individual membership association of state legislators. What could possibly go wrong? They try and develop policies and programs that effectively promote the Jeffersonian principles of free markets. Well, limited government, federalism, and individual liberty. Mm-hmm. But somehow, it always kind of comes back around to hero worship, and if we could only get enough, you know, it's the same as Lark pointed out, eusociality at a certain point. And I think the antidote to all of this, I mean, a million years ago, I used to say three steps to restoring the republic. It's become your own expert. Stabilize yourself so that you are not stabilized and reconstructed. And I was saying that particularly around the time that we were hearing Obama say, America, it's time for nation building here at home. 10 years ago, and Congress was talking about the Nation Building Act and all of that nonsense. So stabilize yourself, you know, become your own expert, stabilize yourself, and then basically rinse and repeat. A nation of, well, I mean, Edward Abbey put it best, grown men do not need leaders, and certainly don't engage in hero worship. We can have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for one another, but hero worship goes beyond that, and I would say it's an unbalanced perspective. We shouldn't be, you know, doing the fanboy thing like, you know, somebody's a Hollywood celebrity or something. That seems unbalanced and unstable. But, you know, a nation of those folks, which I think is the way America used to be, somewhere in some bygone era, more certainly, more so than today, those kinds of folks do not really put their shoulder to the wheel of eusociality and, you know, the ant farm or the beehive, do they? Or the termite colony. Those people are all just doing their own thing and living a good life.
Sick of censorship?
Stick around, DLB second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
DLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.